Call the November 19th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Here.
Alderman Nelson?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a reminder, push on, push off, council. That's like wax on, wax off, but a little different. First item on the agenda, item B, is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and tell us what you want to tell us. Anyone wishing to speak? You've done this before.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I want to talk about item 12 in regards to the proposal to have a hearing on the fact that they want to exempt the public schools from the impact fees. The public schools just took over a Luxembourg property, and that eliminates a tax base of $8,400. Also, back in a couple years ago, they took 10 acres of property in my neighborhood, and they're planting corn in it. And they were part of a two-piece separation that put the Faith Community Church in, and thereby blocking Southview from going through. Now, I can't see any reason why they can't pay for those impact fees, because as you see, they just bought another piece of land and there's taxes going away from us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else rise, I'll close the public hearing, public comment period. We move on to the item C, which is approval of the regular meeting minutes of the Common Council meeting of November 5th. Any additions or corrections?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item D is a public hearing on the 2020 annual proposed budget. It's been noticed in the newspaper. It's been on the bulletin boards. It's been on the sheet out there. So we do have a properly noticed public hearing. So let's move on to the, and I will ask this Director of Administration to go ahead with this presentation.
Each section of the published notice begins with the Common Council of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, November 19, 2019 at 6:30 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Franklin City Hall, Common Council Chambers, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin. For the purpose of hearing any citizen or taxpayer on the proposed 2020 city budget, summary of the proposed budget is published herewith, and a copy of the complete proposed budget will be available for public inspection at the office of the city clerk, Franklin City Hall, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. To 5 p.m., holidays accepted, and at the Franklin Public Library, 9151 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, following the date of this notice, and on the City of Franklin website, dated at the Franklin, Wisconsin, 23rd of October.
Ms. Roberta.
Sure, we'll begin with a presentation that will lay out the main components of the budget for those people who didn't get the chance to read the entire enthralling document. This is our plan for 2020. It identifies our major activities, the major changes to our activities, and so it is one of the more important pieces of documentation the city deals with each year. I'm going to back up briefly to the 2019 budget book, because we spent a lot of time last year talking about why every budget is tough, and it's important to keep that information in front of the public and in front of the council, because it really drives our ability to fund existing operations. The bottom line is that over a $25 million budget, it takes at a minimum $450,000 to probably a more sustainable level of $850,000 of increased revenue every year just to maintain operations. and that's very difficult to do with state levy limits. So that went into a lot and explained how those different things about our, you know, the how the marketplace controls what we buy and new demands that we have on services we have to provide, the levy limits. So there is a lot of effort put into that, and it needs to be remembered because each year this will come back to us, and it really controls our ability. And so what happened in that is it really laid out sort of a strategy that we said we were going to continue to follow, where this blue line shows how much growth from property taxes, this is taken out of last year's budget, and the levy limit is limiting us to almost less than 1% each of those years except for the one. And it identified and sort of calculated minimum sustainability, ongoing sustainability, and sort of a practical one where we would try to achieve. And that's what we said last year. We'd try to work with levy increases as much as we could up to this minimum level, but above that, we would look for other revenue sources and expenditure cuts. And this 2020 budget started with that same theory of overcoming the levy limits, one could say. But what was different about this year is the fact that we did have a significant revenue change, and that being the landfill siting revenues. There was a big jump because of the change in operations and the change in agreement there. It had been anticipated for a number of years, but it wasn't sure when it would happen with all the state licensing requirements. But it did begin to happen this year, and that 2019, which has now caused access to an additional $1,083,000 in anticipated revenue from that source for the year 2020. So it was important in looking at this budget and realizing this is a one-time opportunity. And so the budget sort of set forth sort of five strategies there or options to look on how to anticipate this money so we didn't just use it all at once and then have to cut back from there. So it looked to span that gap in the sustainability that I showed in the prior one. It looked to look at long-term needs that we have and how to fund those so that you could pick the most critical needs you had. And it looked at how to try and save some of that and what to do with it while you're saving it towards operations so that you could phase in how it affects your operations each year and essentially fill that gap to sustainability for more than just 1 year. And so this, in the end, was what was done with it. So I'm sort of jumping right to probably the most significant aspect of the budget, how that $1,083,000 in landfill siting was used. Just short of $200,000 of it was for general fund operations. A new police officer position was added, a new battalion chief position was added, and a new DPW heavy equipment operator position was added. So it sort of attacked all three of the primary public safety needs that we have through those three positions. There was some added support for ongoing operations to the library provided of $20,000. And then the remaining amounts were moved into various capital funds to support the needs of those funds, the capital outlay fund, equipment replacement, street improvement, and capital improvement program. This page just basically takes that last one of these costs and sorts them into those five categories at the bottom and says, in fact, we did do all of those things. Some of it was used for the existing operations. Some were used for those critical needs, those three positions in the library. And some were used for in the capital areas and to address those structural deficits, that $515,000 in the third bullet point. That $515,000 then becomes the resource that we can look at for that long-term planning and say, do future years need to use some of that to move it back into the operations side to fill that gap between the sustainable level and what the new net property tax growth does? At the same time, we recognize this was a revenue source that is dependent upon continued operations of a third party. And so we also took levy that were in these other funds, these capital funds, move that to the general fund and increased use of landfill siting in these other funds. That way, if something happens to that revenue source, we would have greater time to be able to react, because the capital funds you tend to have a little greater flexibility with over time. And so that was sort of a risk avoidance strategy. Beyond that, you reach a more sustainable level, but there were still some impacts that we tried to incorporate in the budget on operations. The council's included one support position in the Department of Administration, increase of a half-time sanitarian, an increase of about 4/10 of FTE of the secretary position in the city clerk's office. It's yet to be determined if that could be allocated between multiple positions, but a total increase of just short of 0.4 FTE. Another issue that the budget attempted to address was we always have to make sure we can address sufficient funding for the market adjustment, which is the basis for the pay plan as adopted by the Common Council. It has 14 comparable communities that we track what they're doing, and we try and make sure we're sort of staying on pace with our competition, so to speak, so we can retain and hire good employees. Second part of that pay plan, though, at the top of the pay plan, has a merit component that has gone funded since it was first adopted at the unfunded since it was first adopted at the end of 2015. Continuing to unfund the merit component essentially causes the compensation plan to cap out at only 2/3 of the way through and make us non-competitive. So it was important this year that the merit component have some funding provided for it, and that was some funding for a couple different, a range of options was put in there. And then exactly how to implement that will need to go to the personnel committee and back to the Common Council for approval. So the funding's there, but the actual strategy and method to be used for distribution hasn't been addressed yet. So that'll be done afterwards. There's also some money provided for restructuring of the supervisory pay plan for the police department that would take them out of that merit component. That's a separate item on your agenda tonight. Just know there is sufficient funding built into the budget to address that if the Common Council so chooses. Another item we addressed within the standard operations was we do have a significant number of retirements this coming year in some key positions that would, because of severance payouts that occur with those retirements, could end up having some critical vacancies occur in the departments. So use of some fund balance that has been sort of rainy day fund money that was carried over from prior years is being used to fill those so that as the person retires, they can be filled right away and there'll be no loss of productivity or operations in those departments. And that includes police and fire, our only full-time custodian, I think a heavy equipment operator in DPW, and engineering and utilities were as well. So it was, since we were trying to address some productivity issues in the budget, this is one direct way that it could be done. And being that it's a one-time cost, it's not an annual cost that we'll have for these positions. It was appropriate to use general fund balance for it. Health insurance is a major item in our budget, so how it impacts it definitely has an impact on overall operations. The significant changes we built into the plan last year are having some significant changes to the budget and some savings in the general fund of about $225,000. We did notice, though, there was some retention and hiring concerns, anecdotal, in nature, but it was enough for the personnel committee to address it and make a recommendation. And the strategy there, in fact, is how the health insurance plans have changed for 2020. That's already been adopted previously by the Common Council, and it's in the process of being implemented with employees already in the middle of an open enrollment period. But we've frozen the premium share and reduced the max amount of pocket. The net effect for those who weren't at the meeting and saw the long discussion on that or at the personnel committee meeting, we've essentially held ourselves at a position to give some of the other communities to catch up with where we are in our health plan. We're more comparable with them, so we're sitting sort of in that area, not as good as most of the local governments, but probably still better than some of the private industry. So compared to the marketplace, we're in a better position than we were, but definitely not one of the more generous communities by any stretch in this regard. But it's overall the entire public and private sector, it's still a very competitive plan.
On that previous slide, HDMP means high deductible medical plan.
High deductible health plan.
Health plan.
HDHP, yeah.
We're using acronyms, and there's people out there that don't do that. So,
well, it's a good thing I was just off. So on the health insurance, last year, I recall when we adopted the budget, we kind of moved the pendulum kind of out there a little bit, and we did it, and we assumed that everyone would eventually catch up to us. But what we found when it came to retention and hiring, that maybe we pushed a little bit too far, and this is bringing us back a little bit. Is that kind of a good way to summarize it?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's fair. We moved out sort of in the same area that Brookfield did. In my years in this south, you know, eastern market, Wisconsin market, I've seen that they tend to be a leader, and I anticipated there'd be more people following. There weren't as many, so this does back us up, and it targets some specific, I mean, it was sort of a very strategic approach to what would a potential new employee be looking at. And so, for example, the maximum amount of pocket, you know, we can insure our risk against the worst case scenario. It's hard for an employee to do that. So we brought that down to be comparable to the PPO and what other communities have. So now our number doesn't look like it stands out of place. So that's what we've done.
Right. And I mean, for the record, like I did not, for a number of reasons, I did not vote for last year's budget. This was not one of them. I mean, I thought it was the right decision that we were making. So I'm glad that, you know, we're recalculating and bring it back, maybe a little bit, swing back a little bit. All right, thanks.
I won't spend much time on this slide, but because there are so many numbers in the budget, there's 1,000 different ways you could look at it, sort of when they talk about looking at it from 10,000 feet. Here are two sort of quick examples. If you look at the general fund expenditures and you take out contingency amounts and transfers to the capital funds and sort of round the numbers off, the general fund expenditures went up just over $1 million, about $1.1 million. Well, the landfill fees, we've used about 363 for those positions that we talked about. We're the retiree severance is using about 239. We're charging out some engineering costs and getting a matching revenue. No impact on the budget, net zero. But that's about $315,000 of added costs. And then we used almost $200,000 for current operations. Everything else sort of nets to $5,000 difference. So in one way, you can say that sort of summarizes how the major things that cause the move. There's a lot that happens in that everything else. But on a big picture, from an expense side, you can look at it that way. From a revenue side, how the general fund got balanced. You know, when we talk about, at the beginning, I talked about costs can go up in that $850,000 range to meet that sustainable level. Where you look at our new property taxes of 352, we moved some existing property taxes from the debt service fund to the operations. We added that almost 200 in landfill siting revenue, and then we moved some property tax levy from capital funds. Again, everything else balances to zero, and that's really, you know, one way you could look at How'd you get to that sustainable level? How did you pull it off? Well, in the simplest slide, that's one way to look at it. Again, there's so many numbers in the budget. You can shuffle all of these many different ways, pick many different things to say, well, that's important. You should have listed there. But at a very high level, it's two different ways you could look at how the budget got where it did, expenditures or revenue. So I throw it out there. It may be more confusing to some people than helpful, but it is a simple views of how the budget got from 2019 to 20. This is maybe one that a slide that interests people the most, which is, so what happens to property tax rates? You can see the 2018-19, so this is the current year, and there's just a process you follow. The property taxes in total across all funds going up 1.65%. You work through the process of equalization that the state does, and then you apply what's in the end needed against the assessed valuation. Assessments went up on average 4.81, or across the total 4.81%. The end result is that the property tax rate will go down $5 to $5.32, so about a 2% decrease in the rate. Very quickly, I'll run through some of the different funds. We do operate by funds. The general fund has most of the items that I talked about already at the beginning. That's your core operations. But we do have a lot of other funds as well that I'll run through. A few other things about the general fund. We have a line item in there called anticipated under expenditures. It's how much we expect departments not to use their budget. And balancing our budget requires departments underspend in the end.
Do you know what, off the top of your head, what a high dollar amount that was in the past, like where we've been? Has it been like 600,000 at one point, I think?
I remember in the 450. I'm not recalling. Paul, do you?
The question is, what, like, we're dropping from 375 to 315, but in the past, that number has been quite higher, I thought. For some reason, I have a dollar amount of like 600. Maybe it's not that high.
I was
high,
thinking 450-ish is the highest we ever got.
I think around 415 was the highest. Yeah.
All right. No, I mean, it's not important for this tonight, yeah. But it actually seems a lot lower than I've thought it has been in the past,
and
which is fine, but I just...
As the budget gets tighter, as we fine-tune numbers and everything gets tighter...
You don't have as much room.
There's less
room.
Yeah,
right. You can only cut so much before... Yeah.
End.
Okay, thanks.